Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter. A few weeks or so ago, we had looked at the first few verses in this book, in this chapter, and the thought I had was faith. We had looked before at 1 John concerning the song that Daryl had, praises the victory, and as John writes, it's the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the victorious faith, we see here, Peter writes concerning a perfect faith, and so I ask you to continue on with some more thoughts in this chapter. I've enjoyed going through some of the verses and some of the thoughts that we have here, and I trust that we can look at it together and glean some truths from this portion of Scripture. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, to the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, to the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and is forgotten, and is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Peter writes in this book concerning the problem of apostasy, those that were turning away from the truth of the Word of God. And that's one of the things that we know is evident in the last days of the church, that apostasy will be evident, and will be those that seek to draw believers away into other teaching, man's ideas, man's philosophies, teachings, and so on. The reasoning of man rather than the reasoning of the Word of God, the straight truth of the Word of God, and it's evident in the days in which we're living. Peter seeks to encourage the believers, to edify them in the light of the fact that to stick to the Word of God, the simple truth of His Word, and being assured that our faith is founded upon the true knowledge of God. the word you'll find in verse 3, we have divine power. Verse 4, we have divine nature. And also we see in verse 1, precious faith. And in verse 4, precious promises. And Peter is seeking to enlighten the believers that it is, our faith is precious. That it came, that it originated from God. Paul says that Romans 3:22, that the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ apart from the law. And true faith is based on the righteousness of God, as Peter writes here, our precious faith through the righteousness of God. He's writing to believers who have obtained like precious faith with us. And we looked at that before. They were together. Like precious faith. They were together in the origin of as they gathered as a group of believers, they began with like precious faith. And that ought to be the characteristic of the believers here at the chapel, that we're together. We're of like mind. We have a like belief concerning our faith, founded not in ourselves, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. It's the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that true living faith is based upon. The word, word precious is found a number of times in Peter's two epistles. He speaks of the precious blood of Christ, and that we're redeemed by His precious blood. And unto him who believes, he is precious. And some of these thoughts that Peter writes concerning the value of our faith and as a believer, that we're precious in God's sight. So that ought to be an encouragement to us to realize that God sees our faith, He knows our faith, and in His eyes it is precious before Him. We're based upon His righteousness, not of our own, nothing that we could do, but on His righteousness. I want to just dwell a little bit on the thought of the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. We're going to look at some of the fruit that ought to be evident as our faith that is based on the knowledge of God. You can read the Word of God, and it's great to see the certificates that are given out to those that read the Word of God. I've been reading through the Old Testament. I get into low gear, and it takes me a while to get moving on. But I'm in Psalms, the last part of Psalms. And but you know, you can sit down and you can read the Word of God. You can read it intellectually. A lot of people have done that. Read it, just read it intellectually. But you know, there's far more than that, isn't there, when we read the Word of God. And it's good to read it. It's a wonderful thing. I remember before we would leave the house and go to school, my mother would read a few verses and have prayer with us when my father wasn't there. And it's good to read the Word of God and to read it, to hear it read while we're young, and to read it ourselves when we're young. I think it's a great thing. But far more than intellectually, we need to read it from the heart, don't we? There's a difference between just reading intellectually and reading with real conviction, a sense in your heart that this is God that is speaking. It's His message. It's His work. And it's His story. And you know, when we see the parable of the sowers, the various seeds that were sown in Matthew chapter 13, we see the different ground or different when the seed was sown by the sower, Some fell among rocky ground, thorny ground, and in the last, the seed that fell on good ground bore fruit, didn't it? But it fell on a heart, and Luke says, a heart that is honest and good, a heart that is open, a heart that was had real conviction in their mind and heart to know the Word of God. And you know, that's how we gain real knowledge of God, isn't it? It's by coming to the Word of God and reading it diligently and with real conviction that this is the Word of God. And you know, sometimes we forget that in the, you know, that it's His message. It's His Word. It's more than just a book sitting on the shelf like any other. It's a book of a message with spiritual nature that God wants to speak to us. That God is concerned about us. He's concerned about our faith. He's concerned about how we live in our life in godliness, how we live with our fellow men, how we behave ourselves in the world in which we're living. He wants to instruct us and teach us. But we need to come humbly and read the Word of God with a humble mind and heart, an honest and a good heart, and that heart bore fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100. So the knowledge of Him is found through the Word of God and real conviction of His Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul writes to the church of Colossae. His prayer was that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and wisdom, and spiritual understanding. In wisdom and spiritual understanding. This book speaks to our spirit, doesn't it? The spirit of man. Our spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. The moment we're saved, we become spiritually alive. Something happens in our life and our thinking and in our heart is changed and our spirit is opened up and God begins to communicate with us through His Word. And we have the Spirit of God that teaches us the things of God. And this is a spiritual book and we want spiritual understanding of what God says. We need to spend time in His Word. And Paul says that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How we should walk. His prayer was that they might know how they ought to walk before God. To be fruitful in every work and to increase in the knowledge of God. And that's what God wants us to do is to increase in His knowledge. To, day by day, as we spend time in His Word, to increase, have a desire to increase our knowledge of God. And that's what is one of the basic foundations, supports of our faith, of our precious faith that we've obtained, is the knowledge of God. There was a lot of knowledge going around. Men were coming up with various false teachings, but Peter encourages them to get back, to be
increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice in verse 3, the knowledge of him that hath called us by glory and virtue. It was a time when we fell short of the glory of God, wasn't it? Before we were saved, we fell short of his glory. We could not meet the standard of God's glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took our sin upon himself and he gave to us his glory, the eternal glory, his divine nature, his divine power that's been given to us the moment we're saved. It's by his glory and virtue. And so we've been brought into his glory. No merit of our own, but it's all his work on the cross that he has called us by his glory and virtue. That glory is the chief end of man, isn't it? When all is said and done, in God's plan throughout the ages, it's his glory that's going to be seen. It's through his glory. And we enter into his glory. We enter into all that is involved as the Lord speaks concerning the fact of the glories of all of his glory we'll enter into fully one day when being with him. But Peter says that he's called us by glory and virtue. He's called you and I by glory and virtue. We don't deserve it, do we? We don't deserve to be called by his glory, his virtue. But that's what he's done. The moment we're saved, the moment we recognize that we're a sinner and that we're on the wrong path, on the path leading to hell and destruction, the moment we're saved, he puts us on a path of glory. He calls us to that path and virtue. Virtue is a thought of, I'm sure you've heard different definitions of the word virtue and done some thought on that. Virtue seems to have the thought of upright, moral standards, a desire to have a life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. We might live our life that would reflect him, and that we would be increasing in the knowledge of God. And the two go together, doesn't it? His glory we've been called to, but we've been called to a life of virtue as well. And he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you know, sometimes life can get humdrum, can't it? Sometimes you get up in the morning and say, "Whoa, I got to go to work today, you know. I got to face the trials, the responsibilities of the day, and carry on the tasks, the job that I have before me." Sometimes it gets pretty humdrum, can it? And sometimes we look at that and other things and we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can, we get our eyes off the Lord and we look around and sometimes we can become overwhelmed and be discouraged. But you know, he's given us all things that pertain to life. He knows the pressures and all the things that we're faced with day by day. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though tried in a fire, Peter says. and all the things that we face day by day. But if we, and sometimes we lose our focus and forget that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Spirit, yes, all things pertaining to our spiritual life, our relationship to the Lord. But our godly relationship to those around us and the people that we work with or we rub shoulders with, we see and carry on, He's given us all things for that relationship as well. But sometimes we lose focus of that. Life, both now and throughout all eternity, it's just a start. The moment we're saved, it's just a start, isn't it? But it's eternal. We can focus on the eternal aspect of things. And that's what Peter is writing, precious faith that is based on the fact that is not only now, but throughout all eternity. The virtue, the life in which we live. Notice in verse 4, Peter writes concerning the fact of the promises of God. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Those are very descriptive words, aren't they? Exceeding. They exceed. They're far beyond anything else. They're exceeding and great and precious promises. Paul writes that the Lord will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think when we come to Him. And Peter writes somewhat of the same expression. His promises are exceeding great and precious. Very descriptive words of the promises of God. And that's another aspect, not only the knowledge of God, but the promises of God. There's another part of the foundation of precious faith, is His precious promises. Part of the foundation in which we stand is upon the promises of God. So if we go over to chapter 2, we see some of the promises of man. Not quite right on that verse. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same is he brought into bondage. See the promises of man, the promises of false teachers, the promises of men that were spreading false doctrine. They promised them liberty, but in the end, they ended up in bondage. So many promises today of man, isn't it? There's promises made in many different areas, business, men in politics, and in many different things. Promise so many things, but yet fail because they're of man. And when false prophets promised that they would gain liberty, they were only brought into corruption. And a man, when a man is overcome, he's brought into bondage. The promises of the world only come to naught, don't they? They can't be compared in any way to the promises of God. The promises found in the Word of God, so many that God has promised to us. He's promised eternal life throughout all eternity. He promises to give peace. He promises us His coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so many other things. Many promises to Israel, and many promises yet to be fulfilled concerning Israel. So many promises of the church. He'll be with us. He'll never leave us. So many things that we find in the Word of God that He brings promise to us. But you know, we see that as Peter writes, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a promise that He's given to us. We'd be partakers of the divine nature, His nature, the divine godly nature He's made us partakers of. We can partake of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world is filled with corruption today, isn't it? So much corruption on every hand. But you know, we've escaped that. That which came by lust. And John writes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the world that passeth away and its lust thereof. All the lust of the world is going to pass away. Excuse me. But you know, God's promises are going to remain the same. They're going to remain true. They're going to remain firm as a foundational support of our faith found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and so on. We need to add to our faith virtue has the meaning of the fact of upright moral standard, being upright. And these are things that we need to add to our faith and virtue. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If there be any virtue, if there's any virtue in these things, moral, upright convictions in the life of the believer, that we think upon the things that are pure and lovely and just and so on. If there's virtue in it, if there's any praise, think on these things. You know, through the day we think a lot of thoughts, don't we? Our mind goes in many different directions and busy at many things. But you know, if we could stop and focus on these things, the things of virtue, and the things that are eternal, that are of praise, that are of value to our precious faith, how much better off we would be, wouldn't we? add to your faith virtue. Our time is just about gone, and knowledge adds where, and to virtue, knowledge of the Word of God, spending time in His Word, humbly coming to His Word humbly, and seeking to know the mind of God in His Word, that we might grow thereby. Peter tells us to knowledge temperance, to have self-control, to be in control, and not to just fly off the handle and to be out of control, but to be temperate, to look at things from God's perspective, and the things that are of virtue and of value before God, and having self-control. Patience, to be patient. I was looking at the word patience in Scripture, and the times that I found it most was in the aspect of forgiveness of our brother. A brother or sister, and that's found in Luke chapter 8 or Matthew chapter 18, of the king that servant owed him money, and you read that parable, and in that parable patience is found about 3 or 4 times, and how the king treated the servant, and then the servant who went out and treated someone that had owed him money, and what a difference. And the exhortation was to be patient, because God has forgiven us. God has had compassion on us. He's forgiven us. So we ought to forgive one another. Brotherly kindness, being kind to our brother and sister in the Lord, as another aspect of virtue, of fruit for God's glory. And then we see love. The greatest of these, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, is love one for another. Our love for God, our love for our brother and sister in the Lord. These are fruits that we will bear for God, based upon the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have knowledge from His Word and His truth as we seek to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Faith based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that is received from Him. Faith that is of virtue. Faith that is godly, faith that is eternal, can only come from God. And as we commit ourselves to Him and seek to increase in the knowledge of God and spending time in His Word.